Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good Friday afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the show. Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We have finally hit the weekend. A lot of college football championship games coming up this weekend. NFL games, including Ravens and Steelers this weekend. You need to go to Brewers Outlet and stock up now. Snacks, the pickle bar, all the beverages. Yes, it is the beverage supermarket for a reason. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Lenape Solar Hotline is powered up at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar, you can go to lenapesolar.com. We'll take a look at that Big Ten championship game tomorrow night at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. We'll be joined by Matt LePay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin, and we'll be joined by Greg Sharp, the play-by-play voice of Nebraska, give you both points of view heading into tomorrow night's game. Also on Sunday, it's the Steelers and the Ravens. We will continue to have me. They brought me in as a federal mediator between Sarah Bartlett and Kevin Herr. So now I'm getting federal mediation fees. It's really worked out great. In the end, it feels like a racket. But first, before we get to the arguing about Ravens and Steelers, let's go to Above the Noise with Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome. Big show today, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Pickle bar is open. Lots to choose from with beverages and also snacks. And we bring in Bob Buhner and an expert on snacks, Kevin Herr. They both quit. All right. So this is the show that we have today.
They're talking. You can't hear them. Oh, now here they are.
There we go. How's that? We're here.
And Kevin, you've been in radio how long?
Yeah, and he's looking at things and telling me to do stuff. I have no clue.
That's okay, Bob. You sound great, well, by the way.
Thank you. And, yeah, Kevin's working on his voice. Listen, I understand.
This is what happens when Buhner sits in the wrong seat. All right?
I'm in the Mark Lawrence chair. Apparently, Steve, you did not win the Powerball.
No, I did not.
Kevin has asked me for the names of a financial planner, an accountant, and a lawyer. I'm not sure what that means. But he's holding a ticket in his hand, so yeah, not sure.
That also means I didn't play. I didn't play.
So there goes your opportunity to buy a big league franchise somewhere, Steve.
Exactly. Well, we'll work on that for another time. And wait with Mega Millions today. All right, so here is today's show, if you don't mind.
We're ready.
Matt LePay, play-by-play voice of Wisconsin. Greg Sharp, the play-by-play voice of Nebraska. We'll hear from both of them next half hour. Gordon Brunskill, Center Daily Times on the NCAA Women's Volleyball Tournament. Dave Leno, play-by-play voice for ESPN3, will do the Penn State Penn game tomorrow. And Marin Walseth, the Lady Lion basketball assistant coach. That's today's show.
Great group.
Kevin, you okay over there?
I got a problem. I've got a problem. I'm trying to figure out exactly what the worst status in fantasy football is questionable.
And, Steve, what's going on here is Kevin is having a meltdown on his fantasy football team in the midst of your show.
Every one of my wide receivers is listed as questionable. Now, in ability, that's true, but now they're questionable in being able to play.
I think the only thing questionable is you're involved.
But, you know, that's the worst status ever because it means you can't really do anything with them, and it's a roll of the dice until game day whether you can actually play them or not.
Gee, it must be awfully hard being you.
It is. It's very hard being me.
There are people going over, and they're trying to somehow scrape together whatever they can at the food bank, and you're worried about the questionable.
I don't know. That's the worst stage ever. Bartlett, do you have any receivers, by the way, Bartlett, that are available?
I am absolutely doing horrible at fantasy football, so I choose not to talk about it.
Well, let's talk about Ravens and Steelers first. I want to hear the two combatants.
Can I duck and get out of the way?
The Ravens will win because the Ravens, one, are at home, two, are a better team. Done.
Well, they're a better team right now.
Playing right now.
They're a better team this very day.
Kevin, they've been a better team than the Steelers all season.
Again, with Ben out of the lineup and with Charlie Batch at quarterback, it's limiting your offense. And again, I still say what I said yesterday, Steve, without having any downfield threat, all of a sudden that short dink and dunk type of pass play that Pittsburgh has done fairly well with early in the season becomes very ineffective. Because now everybody can play man-to-man and come right up and jam everybody on, and defenders can jam them on the line. So it becomes a very, very ineffective passing game. I agree. On this particular Sunday, I believe the Ravens will be the better team.
We call that a confession in the law, by the way, Kevin.
I do. I do concede that.
Now, Steve, all right.
Steve, what? Are you disappointed now?
What am I disappointed in? Baltimore's going to win the game. They're going to win by at least 10 points.
No, I think it's going to be a single
digit
win.
And I do this
win.
As a neutral observer, okay? I am a neutral observer in all this. I'm just telling you who has the better football team right now.
Well, and the only way the Steelers win this game is if the defense actually scores. That's right. How the Steelers win.
I don't know if the defense will score. I'll tell you right now, what's a tough handle in this game is Ray Rice. Nobody, we've talked about Flacco, Batch, Dwyer. Nobody's talked about Ray Rice. Ray Rice is the difference maker in this game. If the Steelers can stop or slow down Ray Rice and force Joe Flacco to win the game, so be it. If Ray Rice, though, establishes a running game, the Steelers don't have a chance.
Yeah, now fourth and long doesn't seem to be a problem for
fourth and 29.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
Well, we've settled that argument pretty fast.
No, you know what? I'm willing to concede that. I mean, I'd love to see Pittsburgh win it, but if you have to pick the game, you just can't pick Pittsburgh in it. And as I said yesterday, this really causes a problem for the Steelers if they want to make the playoffs. They're looking at the last spot at best in the wild card, barring help from someone else.
All right. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. And I tell you, and nobody's better in the league at the 5-yard pass than Charlie Batch.
The long handoff.
Yes. Hey, I'm more worried about Selins Grove and Allentown Central Catholic, which is a more competitive game, yeah. I think, frankly, than what the Ravens-Steelers game will be.
You may be right.
Jeff, let's get Jeff's thought.
Hello?
Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. Hey, I'm going to have to side with Kevin with the Steelers. I think Terry Bradshaw and the Lynn Swan combination is just going to rock the Ravens out of their socks.
You know, if they can bring those two back, I mean, actually, Terry might be a better quarterback right now than everything that's available to Pittsburgh.
Oh, aren't they amazing? You need Franco Harris, Rocky Dwyer, Elsie Greenwood, and Mean Joe Green. And we'll all sit back, have a Coke, and a smile.
That's exactly right.
I guess the question is, who's older, Terry Bradshaw or Charlie Batch?
It's close. It's a tough one.
That's a good one. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it so much. Yeah, Charlie Batch. I think he's the only guy that actually played in the old college All-Star game, didn't he?
He was upset the other week when they were talking about the potential for cutting back on Social Security disability or benefits. So he's up there.
Yeah.
I can't understand why, and I've said this many, many years, I can't understand why the Steelers don't try and find even a third-string quarterback that, I don't know, it can throw the ball downfield at least. I'd rather have a young third-string quarterback than a 38-year-old quarterback who was an adequate quarterback at times, but now it's not there anymore.
Right.
I mean, it's just not there. Byron Leftwich is not my choice for a backup quarterback either.
Byron Leftwich peaked in high school when he came up to Berwick in central Pennsylvania out of Washington, D.C., and faced the Bulldogs. And I don't think he won that game either. He might have.
You were there for that game.
I was there for that game. And that was the peak of his career as far as I can tell.
All right. Well, don't recall that magic moment, but that's okay. All right, don't recall that.
They do
all.
In Berwick, Steve. They always
I'm
talk
sure
about that one.
They do.
They
I'm
don't
sure
forget
do.
Those games up in Bulldog Land.
Yeah, but I mean, Kevin. I mean, let's face it. I mean, they're having tryouts.
Well, listen. Why, if you're the NFL, do you schedule probably the best matchup in the division with 1 week between the two games? Why did they schedule it that way? That makes no sense to me. This game should be the last game of the regular season.
Right.
That's what happens when you subcontract out the scheduling. Is apparently the NFL and all the teams nowadays do. They don't keep it in-house in the league.
Now, I'm not saying it's going to make any difference, but, you know, it should be the last game.
Maybe Mike Tomlin or maybe, you know, John Harbaugh, maybe he pulls a Greg Popovich and rests everybody.
Well, that would be interesting.
I don't know that his ego could do that, though. I'm not sure.
I'm just joking.
No, the fans.
Popovich is going to get they're going to be sanctioned pretty good for that.
I am just outraged that the NBA would do that. I mean, don't coaches have the right to coach their teams? Are we going to start talking about, well, fines for that kind of, you didn't play so-and-so in the fourth quarter, therefore, you know, you have to pay a fine?
Here's the problem with that, Bob. I can see, okay, we're going to sit Tim Duncan out tonight.
Right.
And then you rotate and you sit out Tony Parker. Then the next night you sit out Manu Ginobili. And then, you know. But to do it in mass.
But wasn't it still a competitive game, though, last night?
It was. I watched some of it. It was a competitive game for a period of time.
Let the coaches coach. Let them figure out what their player rotations are. If the NBA wants to go down that road of micromanaging what coaches can and can't do, as we say in the law, you're on a very slippery slope.
Yes, but what did the marquee in Miami say? Come out and see LeBron James of Miami tonight against Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili of the Spurs.
And that's what it's all about.
And but those guys were all there last night. They didn't play.
I don't think they were there last night.
Oh, really? Well, then
I think they were in San Antonio.
Oh, never mind.
I don't think they were on the trip.
Oh, that would be a different story. But if they were there, and for whatever reason, the coach just didn't want to have them out on the court, wasting valuable areas of protoplasm. That's another thing. But if they didn't even make the trip, that kind of stinks.
Do you know what they listed them as?
Questionable. Saw that one coming. Listen, the NBA, in my opinion, has no business stepping into this. If the ownership of the team, that should be where the anger is. It shouldn't be the NBA. The NBA, there's no rule in the NBA that says you have to play your players.
If I own the Spurs and Greg Popovich, after watching his team play five games in six nights, decides he wants to rest everybody in mass, he would have my support.
Well, I'm not saying he did the wrong thing.
Because Greg Popovich, okay,
knows how to coach basketball.
I'm not saying he did the wrong thing. I'm just saying if there's anybody that should have any complaint, it should be the team ownership. The NBA, there is no rule that I've ever heard in the NBA that says you must play your starters for an X amount of time in the game, or they must make the trip. And if there isn't a rule there and you're all of a sudden going to fine somebody for it, then I guess there better be a rule in there next week.
It's the NBA. It was November 29th. Do you think anybody really cares?
Nope.
All right.
Isn't this still the preseason?
Next half hour, Big Ten Championship game preview. Matt LePay, Wisconsin, and Greg Sharp, Nebraska. Yes, Kevin Herr and Bob Buhner are on board. Sarah Bartlett is there for perspective.
There's more people for this program than on the mark from earlier this morning. I'll tell you, that's a lot.
And normally, he's running a DeMille show. I mean, seriously, the number of people that walk out of the studio there in Sunbury when he's doing On the Mark, I mean, it looks like the march out of Egypt.
It's almost like a studio audience when he does that program.
I mean, really, I'm impressed. They're going, holy cow. He just brings in Reichley for effect.
Yeah.
we have to do our game predictions here today. So, Sarah, do you have the list? We're not going to do it yet, but you have the list yet, Sarah?
Yep, I'm ready.
Oh, she is.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I am not surprised. Kevin, have you thought yet what you're going to be doing with the Steelers and Ravens?
I think I've already alluded where I'm going there.
It's going to be painful to hear the words come out of his mouth.
I'm not sure I can actually say it.
He's going to write it down and hand it to me, and I'll read it for him.
I'm not sure I can actually say it.
I'm looking forward, Steve.
Really?
I'm looking forward, Steve, to the interviews with the Wisconsin-Nebraska guys because obviously a common opponent, Penn State. And I think it'd be interesting to hear what, and we can't do this, of course, what some of the Penn State players would think about the outcome of that game, having faced them both on the battlefield.
Well, I think Nebraska's going to win by 10 points. So
after
all right, that's over. Thanks
okay,
a lot.
We go. They don't have to play now.
You hate when I do that. he feels like I have destroyed his childhood and everything that goes with it.
But don't analyze it or anything. Oh, they're going to win by 10. All right, that's great. You know, I mean, I understand you've seen them already, and you have a really good idea, but can you elaborate on why you think it's going to be 10?
Well, what we'll do is let's get the perspective from each side. Let's start with Wisconsin. Let's bring in Matt LePay, the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin, who was on with us last week, and I believe now has set the record for most appearances on the show.
Despite me being on last week, you're going to have me on again, right?
Absolutely. What are you doing next week? No.
I'm free.
Oh, good. Well, so am I. NCAA told me I was free, so.
Despite all of that, good to be on with you.
Yeah, it's great to be on with have you on again, my friend. It's great to hear from you. Monte Ball, first of all, I complimented you openly on the great call you made on the ball touchdown. But to see something like that, because you've called all 79 of them. I mean, when you think back on what he has accomplished and what you've witnessed, what runs through your mind?
What runs through my mind, it's been talked about. I know Brett's brought it up, and we talked to Ball about it. The first thing, I guess, that pops into my mind was that a couple of years ago, when Wisconsin beat Ohio State, when Ohio State came to Madison ranked number one and Wisconsin won, it was a magical night for Badger fans. They won the game 31-18. Fans stormed the field. Monte Ball didn't play. He was in uniform, but he didn't get on the field. And he was thrilled that the Badgers won, but when he walked out of there, he kind of thought maybe this running back thing wasn't going to work out for him, and he was talking to his father, and he thought, maybe I should ask to move to linebacker. And as they say in life, sometimes the best moves are the one you don't make. That idea came and went fairly quickly with Ball, and the running back things worked out for him. But that was what came to mind for me, was the fact that he had played some early in his career, but he really hasn't been the feature back until about midway into the second year. And he's been a starter for about 2.5 years. To make a long answer a little bit shorter here, but just thinking, there was a time where he was the third guy in the tailback rotation, and now to see him as a record holder is pretty special.
You know, statistically, it's not quite the same as last year, but he's also had to overcome it more. In what ways was he actually a better running back this year because of experience compared to what you even saw last year?
Well, he would say that I think he's understanding more of the total package of being a running back, the blocking and everything that goes with it. He doesn't catch a lot of passes out of the backfield, but he can. I think this year it's, I want to say, 9 or 10 off the top of my head receptions, but he can. And I think, Steve, that you raise a good point there, that, you know, the numbers are not quite the same. They're good, but this has been a different offense. You know, they were pretty balanced in 2010 and last year, and in this season, this team hasn't been nearly as good throwing the ball. They've used three different quarterbacks. The receiving core outside of Abradaris is very inexperienced. And I think that's probably forced Monte to understand more of what there is to being a running back beyond just running the football. So I guess we'll find out together in the NFL draft next spring. But he truly believes he is a better all-around player now than he was a year ago.
Jared Abradaris, on the interception by Jacob Fignano, had the collision with Adrian Amos, and Amos never came back in the game. Abradaris never came back in the game. What are his prospects for Saturday night?
They seem to be pretty optimistic that he'll be okay, that he's good to go, which is, you know, clearly important for the Badgers and their chances on Saturday night. But they seem to be pretty optimistic the medical staff will give him the thumbs up. Hopefully we'll find out for sure tonight. We have Brett Bielema's radio show, and I know he meets with the media on a Thursday of game week regularly after practice anyway. So hopefully get some final word on all that tonight. But I knew that I do know that they're optimistic.
If anybody really wanted to play in the game Saturday, the two guys would have been Michael Motti and would have been Mike Borland. Borland didn't go either on Saturday. Is the feeling, though, that part of that is he's set to go for this week because he did sit out last week?
Yes, you know, again, they're optimistic, and hopefully we'll find out more here tonight. Yeah, you're right. I think in both cases with Motti and Chris Borland, they would have, you know, given just about anything to have been on the field. But I think in Chris's case, they're optimistic, but I'm not going to say definite quite yet.
Yeah, Chris Borland had a great year for Wisconsin. All right. Do you put any stock in the first game at all? Because it seems like that happened 8 months ago.
It really does. I want to look back. I've been looking at some more recent games of Nebraska, but I want to take a look at the first game with Wisconsin here a little bit later this afternoon. I think some, and I think maybe one of the big things for Wisconsin, especially the Wisconsin defense, is they know how much better Taylor Martinez is as a quarterback compared to a year ago. And, you know, he doesn't have the prettiest throwing motion on the planet, but he's certainly been a lot more productive throwing the ball, and really good receivers too, with Anunua and Kenny Bell. And they got a host of running backs they can turn to, and Rex Burkhead is back. But I think just the one thing, you could look at a guy on tape, on video, but then to see him live, and they saw Martinez last year, but they know again how fast he is. If he gets in a straight line running, a sprint situation, it's going to be tough to get an angle on him. But now they know firsthand not just what they see in a meeting or in a film room. They know firsthand that he's better throwing the ball. And I think defensively, too, and I asked a couple of guys earlier this week on offense, what jumps out to you about the Nebraska defense? And they talked about how physical it is, and that they have 11 guys who want to run through you. So that's I think it helps in that regard. But, you know, Nebraska knows Wisconsin firsthand as well. But you're right. That does seem like a long time ago they played that first game.
Wisconsin, obviously, is a really good program. You can't keep doing the things that they've done, from Barry Alvarez to Brett Bielema, advancing the championship games, going to Rose Bowls and so forth, unless you have the ability to win a lot of big games. Yet the oddity is that the last 9 losses this program has sustained have been by a touchdown or less. including obviously Saturday with Penn State. Has that been wearing? I mean, that means all five losses this season were by that margin. Has that been wearing on some people there about the ability to win a close game?
Oh, yeah. I think in terms of the fans, sure. That's to be expected, I suppose, anymore. I don't know, Steve. I think sometimes these things work in cycles. In 2009 and 2010, Wisconsin was 8-2 in one-score games. And now, you know, this year it's obviously gone against Wisconsin in a big way. And last year they lost a couple of heartbreakers, actually two in a row in the Big Ten and then in the Rose Bowl. So when those kind of things happen, and coaches sign up for this, they're going to be second-guessed certain situations. For instance, last week, with 5 minutes left, why didn't they try to kick a field goal instead of going for it, and so on and so forth. If Wisconsin would have won in overtime, then obviously that question would have been asked. But the one thing with the players, the second half, maybe to the question there, is a wearing on the players. To be sure, that was a very frustrated bunch that boarded the plane back to Madison last Saturday night. But they also know that if it's close or not, whatever it takes, if they win on Saturday night, through it all, they get to go to the Rose Bowl. So I think that's the one thing that's brought them a little extra bounce, so to speak, going through the process this season. What'll be interesting to me would be what happens, and it's hypothetical, but what happens if it's down to the final couple of minutes again on Saturday night? As an athlete, it'll be interesting to watch. I'm not the athlete. They're the athletes. It'll be interesting to watch how, if they can knock out that here we go again mentality. It's like another close game. How, you know, we're going to find a way to win this one, or how are you going to lose this one? I think that'll be the real test for these guys if it comes down to that.
You saw Nebraska in person once. Obviously, you're looking at tapes. What do you think about that football team?
About Nebraska, yeah. Awfully good. Explosive offensively. I think you popped out on me a little bit, but I'm assuming you're asking about Nebraska.
Yes.
Very explosive offensively. Martinez goes without saying. What's been really impressive to me is without Rex Burkhead for about half the season, they'd still run the ball so well, not just with Martinez, but Amir Abdullah, a 1,000-yard runner. Hurd off the bench can be a guy who gives him a big pop as well. Imani Cross, very powerful runner. And those receivers, I said a couple minutes ago, with Quincy Enunwa, Kenny Bell, those are good-looking receivers they have, and a couple of nice tight ends in Cotton and Kyler Reed. I just think there are a lot of explosive players not named Taylor Martinez that makes that offense go. And it looks as though there's been a fair amount of talk about it too, Steve. Defensively, they were torched against Ohio State. It was a brutal night for Nebraska. Ohio State hung 60-plus on them. But since that game, they had a bye week, and they were able to get some things straightened out. And they've been a pretty solid group on defense since that game. So maybe at times not exactly dominant like the great blackshirt defenses that helped make history for that program, but much, much better than what they were in a couple of games earlier in the year.
One final question. Second year divisional play, second straight championship game for Wisconsin. How do you feel about the divisional format and having a championship game that has on the table the advancement to the Rose Bowl?
I guess being in Wisconsin shoes, like, well, it's great this year the way it's worked out. I think with the league expanding again to 14 in a couple of years, and who knows, Steve, maybe 16 before it's all said and done, that's probably the most logical way to go about it. Now, how you split the divisions, they may have to re-rack all of that with Maryland and Rutgers coming in, and if they expand further, then you maybe have to look at it yet again. But I like it. I think the one thing with a rematch, it's probably a little bit tough here for Wisconsin this week. There's not a lot of pressure, and now with Nebraska, you're asking them to beat, you know, the same team twice. But I think with as big as college conferences are becoming now, I think divisional play makes sense. I think you and I were talking about this before the game last week. The one thing it'll be interesting to see in the future, I know they talked about extending the conference season to 9 games. Maybe the better thing would be 10. Mm-hmm. teams are going to catch breaks in certain years with who they play and who they don't play, because you're not going to be able to play the entire schedule. So the league as we know it is ending, and it's going to be your league schedule is just going to be so critical in your chances of advancing to that championship game.
Matt, always a pleasure. Have a great call coming up on Saturday night. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. By the way, thank you for the compliment. And I heard good news, bad news. I got to hear your call driving home late Saturday night. ESPN played it quite a bit. It was part painful to hear, but you nailed it. I thought you nailed it for the folks over there. So great job, as always, on your part.
Oh, Matt, thanks. I appreciate that very, very much. Matt LePay, play-by-play voice of Wisconsin. Kevin?
Yes.
Very strong segment. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you could make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, the sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to the planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives with professional and certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Brewers Outlet wants you to enjoy the great outdoors, your favorite sports team, and especially Jenny Beer for 41 cents a can. 24 packs of Jenny and Jenny Light, only $9.95 a case. Labatt's 16-ounce cans in 24 packs, just $17.97. That's under $4.50 a six-pack. Compare anywhere. Ladies will get happy with a case of Seagram's Coolers, $21.98. And don't forget the fresh roasted peanuts and sample the pickle bar at Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. All right. Let's shift gears. Go to women's volleyball. The NCAA tournament starts tonight in Rec Hall. Penn State, the number one overall seed, taking on Binghamton. Gordon Brunskill writes for the Saturday Daily Times, covering more volleyball than anybody I know along the way. Gordy, great to have you with us. The back row specialist for Penn State, what do they mean? How good is this group in terms of them moving forward in this tournament?
Well, there is certainly a lot of talent there, and they are kind of the unsung heroes. You have people like Lacey Fuller and Kristen Carpenter and libero Dominique Gonzalez, and sometimes we even get to see our very own state college product, Maggie Harding, out there. And they do just a great job of being cold off the bench and being thrown into the fire and coming up with some great plays, just being able to cover the court. As I mentioned before, just being able to keep the ball alive, and they are so quick to be able to get to the corners and cover every inch of space on that court and give the team a chance, and that's what their job is, and they do a really good job of it.
Okay, there was one thing about his championship teams is they've always had multiple options when it came time to kill and block. Are there enough options for Micah Hancock to turn to, and how strong is the block on this team?
The block is pretty strong. It is not quite to the level of the 2018, but it's really unfair to compare any team to the 2018. Now, that just was that collection of talent was so absolutely incredible, and having six All-Americans on the court at one time is something that was never seen before, and who knows if it'll ever be seen again in the volleyball world. So it is unfair to compare that, but the blocking is still pretty strong. Some days are better than others with this group. When they're on fire, when they're reading the opponent properly, when they're seeing the play develop and they know what's going on, then that block can be pretty intimidating, especially when you have someone like 6'6" Katie Slay up there providing an absolute wall over the net. and even Ariel Scott at 6'4". Just the two of them together, it's nearly impossible for any team to get to successfully get the ball through them and into the court. So the blocking is still pretty strong, but sometimes their timing has been a little bit off. And when the timing is off, then it puts a lot more pressure on that back row to keep the ball alive.
How deep is this field in women's volleyball this year, in your opinion?
I would say the field is pretty deep. The big concern are the Pac-12 teams and the other West Coast teams. There are probably eight or ten who are possibilities of making some noise. As far as the top four go, I would not necessarily say the top four seeds are the top four who will still be alive when it's time for Louisville. But there's probably six or eight who could be there. Stanford, USC are two very strong contenders. Texas is a strong contender. But UCLA, defending national champs, I'd be hard-pressed to try to pick against them at any point. Washington is a very strong team. And there are a few other West Coast teams, even some smaller schools like St. Mary's, that have the possibility of making a couple upsets. And there are quite a few very interesting matchups in the bracket. Penn State got a very, very nice bracket handed to them by the NCAA. And Nebraska, to be honest, didn't get any favors from the NCAA because they faced the possibility of either Hawaii or Washington and then Oregon just to get out of Omaha. So they'll be facing them on the home court, but they're going to have some really strong competition just to be able to get to the Final Four. And Nebraska is one of those teams that has been kind of up and down, especially the last half of the Big Ten season. And you kind of have to wonder whether Nebraska is going to be one of those teams that will be there.
Gordon, always an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for the insight. We look forward to talking to you very soon again.
Sure thing, Steve. Always nice to talk to you.
Gordon Brunskill, Center Daily Times, covering women's volleyball as Penn State begins its quest for its fifth national championship in the last 6 years. And it's sixth overall under Russ Rose. They play Binghamton tonight, Rec Hall, 7:30. Other half of the bracket, Bowling Green against Yale. Winners then advance to face each other. Winner of that match out of Rec Hall then goes on to the Sweet 16. Kevin?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Another really, really powerful segment.
Hey, listen, I don't bring a lot to the program, just a word here and there.
Well, we'll talk about what that word may be next half hour. Greg Sharp, play-by-play voice, Nebraska, talking about the Big Ten championship game. Dave Leno, play-by-play, ESPN3 on Penn State Penn. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.